जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे। जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। गंगमय की यमुनामय की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ज्ञानतिमिरांध्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकय चक्षुरन्मीतम येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वंदेहम श्री गुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। आई ऑफर माई हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस टू ऑल द डिवोटीज, माई हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस टू हिज होलीनेस सच्चिदानंद स्वामी महाराज, महाराज विथ योर ब्लेसिंग्स। दिस मॉर्निंग वी वर डिस्कसिंग द मूड ऑफ एंटरिंग वृंदावन, मूड ऑफ बीइंग इन वृंदावन। वी डिस्कस सेवरल एग्जाम्पल्स फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम, श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत। We specifically saw the examples of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mood of entering Vrindavan. We saw the mood of Akrura when he was on his way to Vrindavan. We discussed the example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan who were non-envious. We visited so many lessons on gratitude, service attitude, and humility, and a feeling of unqualified or even disqualified to receive grace, but still knowing that Krishna's mercy is greater than my disqualifications. A devotee accepts the privileged opportunity to enter Vrindavan or perform any devotional service. We discussed the mood of Avanti Brahman when he became a bhikshu, a mendicant, losing all his property. All he had is just shelter of Krishna, nothing else. When we are holding on to so many shelters in this world, whether it is money or position or power or possessions or prestige or influence in this world or physical strength or mental strength or intellectual strength, all these so-called strengths are not real strength. As His Holiness Satchidananda Swami Maharaj was explaining yesterday, the opposite of money, chapatak also, the opposite of humility is pride or arrogance. So humility is nourished by or the process of chanting of the holy names of the Lord is nourished by developing these four qualities: humility, tolerance, no false prestige, and giving respect to everyone. On the other hand, arrogance is nourished by four qualities: Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. So we may have high Janma, we must have taken birth in a very wealthy family or an aristocratic family or a popular family. Aishwarya, we must have had a lot of opulence. Shruta, education, learning. Shri, beauty, name, fame, prestige, influence. We must have had many things. But all these things are neither qualifications nor disqualifications, as we discussed in this morning through Prahlad Maharaj's prayer. So when there is arrogance and when there is pride, when there is too much of identification with all these external qualities, we will stay far away from our core internal quality of being humble as a servant of Krishna. So this morning, through various examples, we were discussing how a devotee comes closer to the Lord and chants the holy names of the Lord. Yesterday again, we were discussing another shloka from the second canto of Bhagavatam. Etan nirvidyamananam ichchata makuto bhayam yoginam nrpanirnitam harir namanu kirtanam. Yesterday we focused on harir namanu kirtanam. Next few minutes, let's focus on this ichchatam akuto bhayam. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, 11th chapter, initial 3-4 purports, Prabhupada writes, Ahara, Nidra, Bhayam, Maithunam. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These four are very, very common in this material world. Ahara, Nidra, Bhayam, Maithunam. Of these four, Bhayam is very, very common. More prominent than the other three. Ahara, eating. How much can we eat? Daily 3 times, 4 times, 10 times? Each time, how much can we eat? And even if we overeat, how much can we digest? So eating is actually limited. Although there is access to food, ability to eat food, ability to digest it, or necessity to eat food is very less. So ahara is limited. Nidra, how much can we sleep? 6 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours? Even the laziest person cannot sleep more than a certain number of hours. There need to be some active time. So ahara is limited, nidra is limited. Maithanam, once in a lifetime for those who are in heavenly, there are some varshas in Bhumandala. For them, we are in Jambudvipa, we are in Bharatavarsha in the Jambudvipa. In the Jambudvipa, there are 8 other varshas. Varsha means a tract of land. So other tracts of land, other varshas in Jambudvipa are considered little heavenly. So there is Maithun once in a year, once in a lifetime. For human beings, there is Maithun maybe once in a year, right, to produce one child. Actually, Maithun is mainly meant for producing children. So that is once in a year. Once in a while, rarely, there may be twins, but generally, one child in one pregnancy for human beings. But if the consciousness goes down, dogs and cats in one pregnancy, the sense gratification is more often there, more frequent there, and in one pregnancy there are half dozen or one dozen puppies. If the consciousness is even more low, this reptiles and other insects, in one go they will lay 100 eggs or 200 eggs. And there is more sense gratification, more sense enjoyment, more lust, and more procreation, right? So as consciousness is higher and higher, indulgence in sense gratification becomes slow. If you go to Vaikuntha, there is profuse opportunity for men and women to interact with each other, close association of men and women, but zero pregnancy, no lust, no sense gratification. You see, lowest consciousness means more lust, more Maithun, more procreation, little higher, come to dogs and cats, okay. Once in few months there is pregnancy and there are more puppies, and human life once in a year, other tracts of land once in a lifetime. Vaikuntha, zero. No birth, no death. Beyond cycle of birth and death. So as consciousness is more evolved, lust decreases. And as the consciousness is more degraded, this lust increases. So, but considering the human plane, Maithun is very limited. So, are supposed to be very limited. Then what is remaining? Bhaya. Ahara, Nidra, Bhaya. We discussed how Ahara is limited, Nidra is limited, and Maithun is limited, but Bhaya is unlimited. At every moment one can feel fear. Can we reduce this echo? A little distracting.
Soundman said we may have to change the microphone.
Yeah, please do that.
Discussing about Anahara, Nidra, Bhaya, Maithuna, and of all these four common things in this material realm, Bhaya is very prominent. So, why there is Bhaya? Because there is a attachment to material things in this world, and there is a fear of losing them. The more we are attached to material privileges, material objects, the more we become fearful of losing them. When we acquire things, there is a fear of losing. And there is an anxiety while acquiring. There is an anxiety while possessing. There is an anxiety of losing. So there is constant bhayam. So to get rid of this bhayam, we need to chant the very name. एतं निर्विद्यमानानाम् इच्छता अकुतो भयम् इच्छता अकुतो भयम् डिजायर टू बी रिलीज्ड फ्रॉम दिस फियर ऑफ मटेरियल एक्जिस्टेंस फियर ऑफ लूजिंग पोजीशंस फियर ऑफ लूजिंग रिलेशनशिप्स फियर ऑफ लूजिंग पोजीशंस फियर ऑफ लूजिंग प्रिविलेजेस सो द मोर वी आइडेंटिफाई आवरसेल्व्स एज डूअर्स एंड एंजॉयर्स इन दिस वर्ल्ड the more we identify ourselves as proprietors or controllers or masters of things in this material world, the more we become overwhelmed with fear of losing them. So, to come out of this fear, there is only one way. That is, to identify oneself as servant of the Lord. Krishna is the proprietor, I am not the proprietor. So, there is no fear of losing property. Krishna is the master, I am not the master. There is no fear of losing position. Krishna is an enjoyer. I am not enjoyer, I am enjoyed. I am supposed to be giving enjoyment. So there is no fear of losing any enjoyment. When I am rendering service to Krishna, there is no fear of sin. Because whatever I am doing, even if I am killing people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, I am doing it on behalf of Krishna, there is no fear of sinful reaction. When Arjuna in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he was identifying himself as a member of Kuru dynasty and being so emotionally attached to his family members He was so fearful of sinful reactions. What will happen? I may incur some sin because of killing my own family members. That was his fear. But by the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna completely gave up all the fears. I'm killing Bhishma, I'm going to kill Karna, Drona and all my family members. I have absolutely no fear of sinful reactions, because initially Arjuna's identity was as a member of Kuru dynasty, but now Arjuna's identity is a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of Krishna. On behalf of Krishna, I'm fighting and killing. So there's no fear of sin. So to transcend the fears of material existence, we need to embrace our original, spiritual, eternal, constitutional identity as servants of Krishna. And to embrace that mode of being a servant of Krishna, we need to constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. What is the connection between this chanting and being a servant? Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'll give a quick outline of the first five shlokas of Shastakam at this moment. But we'll go in greater detail into at least three of these shlokas in the next few days. So, in the first shloka of Shastakam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes seven effects of Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. What is Sri Krishna Sankirtanam? Kirtana. Kirti means glory. Kirtana means to glorify. Sankirtana means to sumptuously glorify, to perfectly glorify, or in other words, to glorify with others, along with others. That is Sankirtana. When you say Krishna Sankirtana, it is to glorify Krishna, not only names of Krishna. It is Krishna's Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. So Sri Krishna Sankirtana is the process of glorifying Krishna's Naam, Rupa, Guna, Leela, all four. Not only Naam Kirtan. It is Rupa Kirtan also, it is Guna Kirtan also, it is Leela Kirtan also. All this is a part of Sankirtan. And to make it much broader, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam is not just glorifying the Lord with words. Whether it is Rupa Kirtan or Guna Kirtan or Leela Kirtan or Naam Kirtan, you don't just use your words to glorify Krishna. You also use your body to glorify Krishna. You also use your mind to glorify Krishna. With our body, mind and words, with all three, manasa, vacha, karmana, we glorify Krishna's nama, rupa, guna, leela. That's the broader understanding of Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Right? How do we glorify Krishna with words? Very easy, obvious. That's what we are doing now. How do we glorify Krishna with mind? To always think of Krishna. To come out of self-absorption and thinking of Krishna is glorifying Krishna with mind. How do we glorify Krishna with body? By engaging this body and the bodily senses in Krishna's service. That's glorification of Krishna. So, in this way, we try to glorify Krishna's Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela with our body, mind and words. That is Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And there are seven benefits of this Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in the first shloka of Sri Chaitanya Sikshashtaka. We can discuss more details later. But in the second shloka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically discusses the glory of Nama Kirtanam. Nam Nam Akari Bhudha Nityasharva Shakti. Tomorrow we will discuss this shloka in greater detail. But second shloka is dedicated to glorifying Krishna's Nam, holy name. In the third shloka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the four qualifications that we need to do the Nama Kirtan effectively. Because in the second shloka, Mahaprabhu ends with this. Namna Makali Bhudani Sarva Shakti Tatrapitani Vitasmarnayana Kalaha. The last line is Durdaiva Mitrishamiha Jani Na Anuragha. Durdaiva. My misfortune is I don't have sufficient Anuraga. Anuraga means attraction to this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord because of offenses, many other things. So how to destroy this misfortune and how to develop the anuraga? We have to destroy Durdaivam and develop anuraga. How is it possible? Third shloka. Tranadapi sumichena tarorapi sahishtana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. Right. four things. If we develop both these four things, then Kirtanaya Sadahari is possible. So apart from adopting favorable practices for Nam Kirtan, for chanting the holy names of the Lord, we should also avoid unfavorable things. That's described in the fourth sloka. Nadhanam, najanam, nasundari, kavitamva, jagadisha, kamayi. Mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavata bhakti rahitu kitvayi. Nadhanam, I don't want money, wealth. Najanam, no followers. Nasundari, no undue attachment to opposite gender. Kavitamva, means I don't want any praise. I don't want any glorification. Jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmaishwari. Life after life I want to serve you. And by saying janmani janmani, Mahaprabhu rejected one more element, that is liberation. He is saying life after life I want to chant your names, means he is not looking for liberation from the cycle of birth and death. So that is also rejected. So five unfavorable elements, dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavita, liberation, mukti. All these five things are rejected in the fourth sloka. Then Mahaprabhu comes to the fifth sloka. That is, ainanda tanuja kinkara. Our swarupa, jivera swarupa hai krishnaya nityadas. Our real swarupa, our spiritual identity is, we are kinkaram, we are servants of Krishna. So, in the mood of being a servant of Krishna, when we chant the holy names of Krishna, that will please Krishna. So, holy names are chanted, holy names are most effectively chanted by identifying oneself as a servant of Krishna. When you identify yourself as a servant of Krishna, who is the supreme proprietor, controller, master and enjoyer, who is all powerful, all merciful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Where is fear? Ichchatam akuto bhayam. There is no fear when we are chanting the holy names of the Lord. Because when a servant in the mode of dependence on the master chants the holy names of the Lord, the servant is having complete faith that master will protect me in all circumstances. So when we have an understanding of Krishna's divinity, Krishna's power, Krishna's position. And in comparison to that Krishna's position, when we understand our own insignificant position as servants, then we can chant effectively. So all these kathas and shastric studies are meant to give us that understanding of Krishna's divinity and our own insignificance in compared to Krishna's position. So with that understanding, when we utter the names of Krishna, then that is pleasing to Krishna, that is nourishing to ourselves, that will destroy all our fears. Bhayam dutiya abhinivesha tasyat. Why there is bhayam? Why there is fear in the heart of a conditioned soul? Because one assumes oneself to be something which one is not. Dvitiya abhiniveshatasya. Who am I? I am a soul. I am a servant of Krishna. I am a parent of Krishna. That's my identity. When I assume myself as something else, I am the controller of this world. I am the king of this kingdom. I am an engineer. I am a doctor. I am an American. I am an Indian. I am a brahmachari. I am a grihastha. I am a kshatriya. I am a brahmana. There are so many identities that are overwhelming and bombarding the consciousness of a conditioned soul amidst, as Maharaj was saying this morning, we are carrying an identity kit. So Maharaj was opening all these things and putting on the table. So we are carrying an identity kit. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please keep aside all these identities and identify yourself with your real designation, real position, real constitutional position as a servant of Krishna, then you can chant the holy names better. Then we will be destroying all our fears. All fears are gone. Because fear is basically fear of losing identity. And all the possessions that we have acquired with that identity. Identity is I. Possessions are mine. I and mine. Aham mameti, aham mameti. Because of this aham mameti conception, there is fear. The aham mameti conception induces so much of fear. When that aham becomes spiritual aham, when that ahankar becomes spiritualized by identifying oneself as servant of Krishna, then that mamatva is gone. Nothing is mama. Nothing belongs to me. I myself is a belonging of Krishna. I belong to Krishna. Nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to him, and even I also belong to him. So when that identity is clear in the mind, then we can chant with a mood of dependence, in a prayerful mood, in a helpless state, and thus we can make a connection with Krishna, we can make a bonding with Krishna, and fears are gone. Ichchata makuto bhayam. And by the way, our chanting should not be only with a desire to destroy our fears. Etan nirvrutyamana ichchata makuto bhayam. Ichchata makuto bhayam. If at all you desire to be fearless, do Harir Namanu Kirtanam. That's what Sukadeva Goswami said in the second canto of Bhagavatam 2.1.11. But our ichcha should not be only abhayam. Our ichcha should be prema. When we develop that prema by chanting nama, automatically abhayam happens as a byproduct of this whole process. Right? Ichchata makuto bhayam. Yogina nrupa niranetam harir namanu kirtanam. So keeping aside identities becomes one of the most foremost requirements or prerequisites to effectively chant the holy names of the Lord in a mode of dependence. That's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said during the Ratha Yatra, Naham vipro nacha narpatir napi vaishyo na shudro, Naham varni nacha grahapatir novana sthoya tirvam, Kintu prodhyan nikhila paravananda purna tathe, Gopi bhartuh padaka malayor dasa dasa anudasa. Naham vipro, I am not a brahmana. Nacha narapatir, I am not a kshatriya. Napi vaishyo, I am not a businessman. Na suryo, na sudru, I am not a sudra. I don't belong to any varna. Naham varni nacha grahapatir, novana sthoya tirva. I am not a brahmachari, I am not a grahastha, I am not a vanaprastha, I am not a sannyasi. I don't belong to any ashram also. My ashram is not my identity. My varna is not my identity. My gender is not my identity. My nationality is not my identity. My designation or position or power or privilege or influence I have in this world is not my identity. My wealth is not my identity. My scholarship or knowledge is not my identity. Then what is your identity? Gopi bhartuh padakamalayor dasa dasa dasa. I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of gopis of Vrindavan. Here Krishna is described not as Krishna, as Gopi Bhartur. Here Krishna is described in connection with the best of his devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan, who are the foremost of his servants. And in the Mukundamala Stotra, our Kulashekhar Alwar says, Tad bhritya bhritya parichara bhritya bhritya bhrityasya bhritya itima tava lokanatha. Bhritya is a servant. Tad bhritya bhritya, servant of servant. Tad bhritya bhritya parichara, servant of the servant of the servant. Tad bhritya bhritya parichara bhritya bhritya, servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And two more servants are added at the end. Servant over seven. In this material world, the higher we are in the hierarchy, the greater is considered our position. I am great. But in the spiritual realm, the lower we are, the more we consider ourselves low, the greater we are in the eyes of Krishna. May not be in the eyes of people in this material world. When we were sitting at the foothills of Govardhan, no mats were there. Earlier we had smaller mats in the previous retreat, a few days back, Govardhan Prabhu's retreat. We could see the dust, we could touch the dust. We also could see some small blades of grass coming out. I just picked up one. Uddhava wants to be like this. Do I want to be like this? Do I have the humility to aspire to be like this? To be trampled by so many pilgrims, residents, whoever comes, even animals, monkeys. Uddhava is aspiring for that. To be literally blade of grass there. He'll put a mat on the grass and he'll sit there. But that's Uddhava's aspiration. Inconceivable humility. I don't know in which lifetime can a struggling sadhaka dozing off in japa can actually aspire for this degree of humility. Uddhava is saying, Asamaho charana renu dushamaham syam vrindavane kimapi gulmala taushadhina yadusya jamfaja namarya patham jahitva bhejur mukunda padavim shruti bhiran vrugya Asamaho charana renu dushamaham syam. Charana renu, I want a test from the lotus feet of these gopis. To receive that test, yesterday we were discussing. If Uddhava, the prince of Mathura city, goes and asks his little gopis, can you please give a test? They feel very shy, they feel very embarrassed. No, we will not give, we will not give. So Uddhava had an idea, he is very intelligent. He thought, if I ask them, they will not give. Better I become a blade of grass or a gulmalata or a creeper in Vrindavan. If I am not qualified, if Krishna feels that I am not qualified to become even a blade of grass or a lata creeper in Vrindavan, at least let me become a creeper outside Vrindavan. Just in the immediate outskirts of Vrindavan. Once in a while, sometimes when these glorious gopis step out of Vrindavan for some reason, at least at that time I will get their rest. Vrindavane kimapi gulmala taushadhina. Kimapi gulmala, kimapi, some gulmalata, aushadhina, some herb, some blade of grass. This is his aspiration. This is the aspiration of a constant, consistent associate of Krishna, cousin of Krishna, who is almost like a brother, who is like a replica of Krishna. See, Uddhava's position, if you read the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth chapter, Uddhava's position is described by Krishna himself. Krishna concluded his pastimes and he wanted to go to spiritual world. His last few days left. Then Uddhava thought, Krishna thought. Krishna wanted to conclude his pastimes and he thought, I gave my association to so many devotees in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, Hastinapur, Ayodhya, Kundinapur, I went to Sutala Loka, I went to Swarga Loka, I went to Indraprastha, I gave my association to so many devotees at so many places. But one place I could not go. Which is that? Badrikashram. So Krishna wanted a bona fide, authorized representative, a devotee who can actually represent himself, who is like a replica of himself. In fact, in Krishna's words, who is non-different from himself. Krishna wanted such a devotee to go and give his message to the sages of Badrikashram, and Krishna chose Uddhava. Uddhava has to go on my behalf. When he speaks this Krishna conscious philosophy to the sages of Badrikashram, it's as good as me speaking. And Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita, the longest philosophical episode in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, which is longer than even Bhagavad Gita. Krishna revealed deeper insights in Uddhava Gita, which he has not revealed even in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is pure philosophy, but Uddhava Gita has so many stories also. He spoke to Uddhava, his associate. And Krishna is hardly 10 and a half years old, he came to Mathura. Since then, till Krishna departed, about 110 years, more than a century, Uddhava got association of Krishna. While Vrajavasis got Krishna's association for a decade, Uddhava got Krishna's association for a century, more than a century. And that Uddhava, who is profusely blessed with Krishna's personal association, is wanting to become a creeper in Vrindavan. And if he says, if my application will not be accepted by Krishna, I'll get another application. If I'm not qualified to be a creeper or a blade of grass in Vrindavan, let me become so in the outskirts of Vrindavan, just in the vicinity of Vrindavan, closer to Vrindavan. That is his longing. Inconceivable humility. So when someone is absorbed in this mode of being a servant of Krishna, in this humble mode of recognizing oneself as an insignificant servant of Krishna's devotees, then one has absolutely no fear in this material world. But such a devotee has another type of fear. You know what is the other flavor of fear? Spiritual fear. Materially there is no fear. But on a spiritual plane there is some fear. The fear of fall down. The fear of distraction. The fear of displeasing Krishna. I must do my service sincerely so that Krishna is pleased with my seva. Otherwise, I am missing a very, very glorious opportunity to serve Krishna. So I must do this service very meticulously to please Krishna. So there is an anxiety, there is a fear in the heart of a devotee. That is fear of displeasing Krishna. Secondly, there is a fear of Maya. Although I am experienced in bhakti, although I am very, very, I have been chanting and hearing and I'm doing devotional service for such a long time, still, Maya is so powerful. Maya can distract me and allure me at any moment. Therefore, I must be very, very careful. So, a devotee has a healthy fear of fall down or distractions. Secondly, a devotee has fear of displeasing Krishna by not effectively rendering service that is assigned to him. These are the fears. These are bona fide fears. You should have these fears. You should not be overconfident. You should have this kind of healthy fears. But the other fear of losing power, position, all this devotee doesn't have. In such a humble state of detachment and humility, one can effectively chant the holy names of Krishna. In fact, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defines a devotee in connection with how much he or she chants the holy names of the Lord. So we have some printouts. Morning, I was going spontaneous, but you can give to devotees now? Is it the right?
We don't have all of them yet, but we can give some.
Okay, fine. They can share. They are very popular shlokas, but I thought they will see. You can give me also one copy so that. You go to the second page. Whoever has. If you don't have, not an issue. You are not very difficult shlokas. You can just recite them along. Yeah, you can share in the group. You can see on your phones. Phones are allowed? You're keeping aside phones. Just to see shlokas, they're allowed. Okay, fine. So these are very simple Bengali shlokas, interesting shlokas. I thought we'll just recite. Are we ready to recite? You let me know when you're ready. So meanwhile, let me give the background of the shlokas. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Jagannath Puri as his headquarters. Jagannath Puri's headquarters. So he would stay there only, and all the Navadvip passes have to come all the way from Bengal to Orissa to meet Lord Chaitanya every year, Rath Yatra time. Actually, they stay in Jagannath Puri for 4 months during this monsoon. So every year they would come. And they would attend Rath Yatra along with Lord Chaitanya. They would attend this Dola Yatra and other Janmashtami and other monsoon festivals in Jagannath Puri. And then they will go back to Navadvip. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bidding farewell to these great devotees, the devotees of Kulinagrana ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Mahaprabhu, we are leaving. Any final instructions? we'll face this on Saturday, on the last day of our Sharanagati retreat. We'll leave our hearts in Vrindavan and Govardhan
And we will ask Maharaj, Maharaj, any final instructions, any final takeaways, so that we can try to implement some of this. Actually, any spiritual gathering, whether it is a retreat like this, or a yatra, or something else, whenever there is a big spiritual gathering for a festival, for a retreat, then devotees' minds are so immersed in that consciousness of that gathering, and we feel a deeper sense of connection with other devotees, and at the time of leaving that place, after spending 4 days or 5 days or 1 week or 10 days, the moment of leaving that place is very painful. We feel that sense of separation. And if we don't feel that sense of separation, we have not sufficiently experienced that spiritual sangha. When we come in contact with other devotees, the association, the sangha of Vaishnavas should nourish us, should enliven us in bhakti. And whenever we are departing, some pain should be there in the heart. I experienced this vividly in 2007. In 2007, I was working in Pune, Force Motors. In those days, we used to have Pune yatras for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it was in Krishna Chandra Prabhu's home in Pune. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj would lead, and sometimes other Prabhupada disciples will come. Once His Holiness Niranjana Swami Maharaj came, and many other devotees were there giving lectures. 3 days of intense hearing, chanting, kirtan, some dramas, prasadam, very, very enlivening morning program. After 3 days of such wonderful gathering, I was just moving out of that bungalow, that venue, going back to my workplace. My God, it was so painful. My God, I have to leave this place. These devotees are nice. Then next year I joined Chapati. So every day is yatra in one sense. Anyways, our yatra will last for 3 days, or 7 days, or 10 days. But the yatra of these devotees of Navadvip, that lasts for 4 months. 4 months of constant association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, attending Rath Yatra, Janmashtami, Radhashtami, all these great festivals with Lord Chaitanya. Every day, some devotee will call Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please come and take prasad in our place. And some devotees who did not get opportunity, they will cook at their home, they will come and bring it and give it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Govinda has to stack them. Very, such wonderful, enlivening period of 4 months, monsoon. So when they are leaving, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we need some instruction. Now let's recite some of the shlokas.
Tabi Ramananda Ara Satya Raja Khan Prabhura Charane Kichu Kaila Nivedana.
So when Mahaprabhu was bidding farewell to all these devotees, Tabi Ramananda Ara Satya Raja Khan. So these two devotees, Ramananda and Satya Raja Khan, they are like prominent devotees in the Kulinagram area. They asked Lord Chaitanya,
Prabhura Charane Kichu Kaila Nivedana. Nivedana is an application or a request. They asked, Lord Chaitanya, we have a request, we have an application, we want to appeal something. What is that?
Grihastha Vishayami Kimora Sadhane.
Grihastha Vishayami Kimora Sadhane.
Sri Mukhe Agnakara Prabhu Nivedi Charane.
Very humbly these devotees are saying, Lord Chaitanya's personal associates, they are saying,
Grihastha Vishayi Ami.
We are simple householders. Vishayi means one who is so much absorbed in materialistic activities, sense objects. So as householders, we are too much engrossed in so many materialistic activities, although they are not, they are Vaishnavas.
Kimora sadhane, what is our sadhana? What should be our spiritual practice when we go back home? Last 4 months have been very blissful because we are in your association. But now we have to go back. We will not have you. What are we supposed to do? What sadhana, what practice are we supposed to do?
They asked. Then Srimukhe Agnatara Prabhu, Nivedi Charani. We are submitting this humble appeal at your lotus feet. Agnakara, please instruct us. Please give us instruction.
Then, Prabhu Karina Krishna Siva Vaishnava Sivan. Nirantara Kara Krishna Nama Sankirtana.
Prabhu Kahena, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke. Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Seva. He is giving instructions. Number one, Krishna Seva. Worship the Supreme Lord Krishna. Render service unto Him. You have deities at your home? Worship. Second instruction, Vaishnava Seva. Also serve Vaishnavas. Not only Krishna, serve Vaishnavas. Third, Nirantara Kara Krishna Nama Sankirtana. Nirantara means without any interruptions, without any gaps, please do Nama Sankirtana. Please chant the holy names of Krishna. Only three instructions. Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Seva, Nama Sankirtana. Three things. Now, when an instruction is given, you need to ask for clarification also, if it is not clear to you. So, Satya Raja Vali Vaishnava Jiva Kimane. Out of the three instructions given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, two are very clear. Krishna Seva, you have to worship Krishna, clear. Nama Sankirtan, chant his holy name, that is also clear. The third one is not very clear. Vaishnava Seva, Sarva Vaishnavas, it is clear, right? What's the ambiguity here? Ambiguity is with a Vaishnava. How do we recognize a Vaishnava? How do we understand who is a Vaishnava and who is not? Whose seva should we do? Mahaprabhu clarified. Prabhu kahe yaar mukhe suniye tabar. Krishna nama se pujya shrestha sabakar.
Krishna nama se pujya shrestha sabakar.
Prabhu kahe yaar mukhe suniye tabar. If you hear the holy name of Krishna emanating from the mouth of a person even once, understand he is a Vaishnava. Prabhu kahe yara mukhe suni ekaba Krishna nama sehi puja shrestha sabaka. Krishna nama, he is chanting Krishna nama even once. Sehi puja, he is worshipable. Shrestha sabaka, he is best of all. Mahaprabhu gives this definition. What is the definition of a Vaishnava? One who chants the name of Krishna. So let's go to Bhagavatam for a minute. You can't avoid, I go to different places while discussing something. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, there is this description of Ajamali Kanda. After this whole Ajamali episode is over, there is another conversation between Yamaraj and Yamadutas. All the Yamadutas went to Yamaraj and asked that, we were trying to execute your instruction in arresting Ajamali, but we were defeated. So you did not come to protect us. They were protesting because they did not get protection. They were protesting against their master. If you don't bring the Vishnu Dutas to hell and punish them, we consider that we are serving a firefly. We thought you have the authority to punish sinful people, but now your order is completely surpassed by these four effulgent personalities. As soon as Ajamil chanted Narayana, 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 these four Yamadutas came there. Vishnu Dutas came and protected Ajamil. They have cut our ropes, they have chased us away, they have threatened us. So, it's a long story. Yamaraj, when he was challenged by his Kinkaras, Yama Kinkaras, Yamadutas, he was not offended. Generally, when the subordinate comes to the boss and challenges, we are like a firefly. So, it's very demeaning. It's very humiliating situation for the boss. But here this boss became very happy and blissful. Why did the boss become blissful? Because for the first time these Yama Dutas uttered the name Narayana. That gave an opportunity to Yamaraj to speak something about Narayana. Had given holy name Shimrayana to them. So far he was only telling all these Yama Dutas, boil this sinful soul in Kumbhipaka hell for the next 10,000 years. Take him to Sachimoka cell, Sachimoka heaven, hellish planet, and torture him for the next 20,000 years. So these were the conversations between Yamaraj and Yamadutas. But first time, the conversation became spiritual. About holy name. So he spoke a lot about holy name. And in that big series, there is one beautiful shloka. He said,
Te deva siddha parigita pavitra gatha ye sadhavo samadrisho bhagavat prapanna tanno pasidat harer gadaya vidukta naishavayam nachavayah prabhavamadhante.
You Yamadutas, you dare to go and arrest Ajahnya? Please understand the glories of devotees.
Te deva siddha parigita pavitra gatha.
All the devatas and siddhas, they perfectly glorify these devotees. Pavitra gatha, the pure character and pure life of these great devotees is praised even by great devatas and siddhas.
Yesa dhavo samadrisho bhagavat prapanna.
They are great sadhakas. Samadrisha, they have this opulence of equanimity, quality of equanimity. Bhagavat prapanna, they are completely surrendered to the Lord.
Tanno pasidata harer gadaya vidukta.
Never approach devotees of the Lord.
Why?
Harer gadaya vidukta. Lord Hari's gada, Kaumodiki gada is constantly circling them, protecting them. They are always under the protection of this circle, within this circle. Whether you see a gada moving around this, devotees are not, there is even gada. If any gada tries to harm them, this gada will hit them with their head. If any demonic person tries to harm a devotee, this gada will punish them. Gada is always tainted by the blood of these demonic people. So after this, Yamaraj very emphatically gave the SOP of Yamalok, gave some nice quotes to be kept in the notice board of Yamalok, so that Yamadutas will see that notice board very clearly, read it before catching any sinful souls. This is one which we already discussed. The second one is
Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanadheyam Chetasjana Smarati Tacharanavindam Krishnaya Omamati Yajira Ekadapi Tanavadhamasato Krugavishnu Kriptya.
Who is eligible to go to hell? Yamaraj says, these are bona fide statements. Yamaraj's policies here. Yamaloka's policies I am reading now. First,
Jihva na Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanamadheyam.
One who has not uttered the holy name of Krishna even once in their life.
Jihva na Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanamadheyam.
If they have not utilized their tongue to chant Krishna's name or glorify Krishna's qualities even once in life, they will be taken by.
Chetascha nasmarati tacharanavindam.
If they have not utilized their minds to remember and meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna even once, they can go to hell.
Third, Krishna yano namati yachira ekadapi.
If they have not offered obeisances to Krishna even once, they can go to hell. But not those who are accustomed to chant the holy name Sudra. Even if they sleep in japa, no problem, not your job. There are devotees who can streamline their japa, but Yamadutas you cannot touch them.
Tanaya dhamasato akrita vishnu krityan.
Bring such people. Akrita vishnu krityan, they have not done anything in connection with Krishna or Vishnu. Therefore bring them. So if one has not chanted the holy name of Krishna even once, they are eligible to go to hell. But Mahaprabhu says, if they have chanted the holy name of Krishna even once, they are Sreshta. Pujya, they are the best. So he says,
Krishna nama sahi pujya shrestha sabaka.
Krishna nama sahi pujya shrestha sabaka.
Why? What is so special about this Krishna nama? See this.
Eka Krishna nama kare sarva papa kshaya.
Eka Krishna nama kare sarva papa kshaya.
Eka Krishna nama kare sarva papa kshaya.
Krishna
bhakti purna nama haite haya.
Bhakti purna nama haite haya.
See the power of holy name. Mahaprabhu is speaking this. Eka Krishna nama kare sarva papakshaya. Just one name of Krishna has the capacity to destroy all our sins, all our sinful reactions. Sarva papakshaya. One Krishna nama is sufficient. In fact, there are other references that say that a conditioned soul does not have the capacity to commit as many sinful activities as one holy name can eradicate. Right? One holy name is sufficient to eradicate as many sins as you can possibly commit or think of committing. Eka Krishna nama kare sarva papa kshaya.
Eka Krishna nama kare sarva papa kshaya.
Navavidha bhakti purna nana haite haya. Navavidha bhakti we know. What are they? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasivanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Garasam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. So the remaining eight processes of bhakti are incomplete without nama. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Kirtanam adds completeness to Shravanam, Smaranam, Padasivanam, etc. etc. That's the power of chanting. That's the significance of chanting in the process of bhakti from Mahaprabhu's words. More. Atayeva dharamukhe eka krishnana.
Atayeva dharamukhe eka krishnana.
Seita vaishnava kariha taharasama.
Seita vaishnava kariha taharasama.
Atayeva dharamukhe eka krishnana. Therefore, please understand, if somebody chants krishnana even once, you have to give them samman, he says in the next line. Seita Vaishnava Kariha Tahara Samman. Please understand, he's a Vaishnava. And you have to do samman. Samman means you have to respect them. This is Mahaprabhu's instruction to Kilinagram devotees. Clear? So next, they took this instruction, oh, we have to serve such a Vaishnava. That's amazing. Let's go back. So they went, they spent 8 months in Navadvip. Again they came back for the next Rath Yatra. Again they spent 4 months here during monsoon. When they were leaving, they asked the same question again. Sometimes devotees ask the same question again and again. Have you noticed? Same question. Maybe some little vocabulary change, some tone change, or the mood change. But ultimately, same. If you take notes of that question, same thing will come. So they asked the same question. Then Mahaprabhu gave an answer which is a little more intense in their temperature. Answers will change sometimes. Although the question is same, answer may not always be the same. Oh, he's asking the same question, means he needs a little more intensity. Let me increase the temperature now. Right? So Mahaprabhu increased the temperature. When they asked the same question next year. Prabhu kahe Vaishnava seva nama sankirtan. Duikara Sikhra Pabe Sri Krishna Charan.
Duikara Sikhra Pabe Sri Krishna
Charan. So these Kulinagram Vasis asked Mahaprabhu, what are we supposed to do when we go back? Mahaprabhu said, Vaishnava Seva and Nam Sankirtana. So you do both, then you will attain Krishna's lotus feet. Then these devotees asked, Teho kahe ke Vaishnava Kitara Lakshan. Tabe hasi kahe Prabhu janitaram.
Tabe hasi kahe Prabhu janitaram.
Mahaprabhu smiled. When a devotee, when the Lord heard this question, he understood. Last year they asked the same question and they are asking the same question again now. And he smiled. Then in that smile, through that smile, Mahaprabhu revealed that he understood their heart because they wanted more insight into it. Last year, Mahaprabhu spoke 3-4 shlokas about Vaishnava Seva, but they wanted a little deeper understanding of it. So Mahaprabhu understood it and said, Krishna nama nirantaraya haravadane.
Krishna nama nirantaraya haravadane.
Sri Vaishnava Sreshtha Bhaja Tahara Charane.
Krishna
nama nirantarata yahara vadane.
Krishna nama nirantarata yahara vadane.
Sri Vaishnava Srishtha Bhaja Tahara Charane.
Sri Vaishnava Srishtha Bhaja Tahara
Charane. One who chants the holy name of Krishna nirantara, constantly is a Vaishnava Shrestha. In the previous year he gave one answer. One who chants the holy name of Krishna even once is a Vaishnava. Now one who chants the holy name of Krishna repeatedly and constantly is a Vaishnava. See, Vaishnava Shrestha Bhajata Ahara Sarana, he is the best of all Vaishnavas. You should worship their lotus feet. So earlier he said, see puja is worshipable, Shrestha Sadhava is best of all. But again he is saying, one who chants constantly is a better Vaishnava. Now, next year, same thing. They went back with this instruction. They started serving those devotees who are constantly chanting. 8 months passed, they came back, attended Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. 4 months passed in Jagannath Puri. Again they asked the same question. What are we supposed to do when we go back? He said, you do Vaishnava Seva. Who is a Vaishnava? They are asking.
Varshantara taratamya prabhu sari. Varshantare punahatara aiche prashna kaila.
Varshantare punahatara aiche prashna kaila.
Vaishnave taratamya prabhu sikhaila.
Vaishnave taratamya prabhu sikhaila.
Next year when they ask the same question, Mahaprabhu actually spoke about taratamya, the hierarchy of Vaishnavas. He said,
Yahara darshane mukhe hai se Krishna.
Yahara
darshane mukhe hai se Krishna.
Yahara darshane mukhe hai se Krishna.
Tahar jani hai tumi Vaishnava pradhan.
Tahar jani hai tumi Vaishnava pradhan.
Just by seeing a Vaishnava, if you are inspired to chant the holy names of the Lord, he is the best of all Vaishnavas. He is the foremost of all Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Pradhan. So Mahaprabhu gave 3 levels of Vaishnavas. One who chants the holy name even once. Second, one who chants the holy name constantly. Third, one who inspires others to chant. So,
Kramakari Kahi Prabhu Vaishnava Lakshan. Vaishnava Vaishnava Tara Ara Vaishnava Tama.
Vaishnava Vaishnava.
First definition is of Vaishnava. Second is Vaishnava Tara, better Vaishnava. Third is Vaishnava Tama, best of all Vaishnavas. Right. So the mission of human life is definitely to chant the holy names of the Lord. But to come to a stage where we constantly chant Kirtanaya Sadaharihi, then even higher than that is to make everyone chant the holy names constantly. Like, you see, in the, you can see Prabhupada right in front of us with a book in front of him. Right in the first chapter of the first kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, while giving a purport to the second shloka,
Dharma Prochita Pita Gotra Paramodhinamat Saranam Sata.
In this shloka, Prabhupada gives a definition of non-envy. Nirmat Saranam Satam Vidyam, right? One who is non-envious can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the meaning there. So what is non-envy? Prabhupada gives 3 levels of non-envy. First level is not to envy another devotee or another personality who may have something more than that. Generally, envy comes in the heart of a person who wants something which others have. Oh, he has it or she has it. I don't have it. There's envy. I want it. There's envy. He's in a better position. I don't have. He is something which I am not. There's envy in the heart. So to not have that bitter feeling is the basic non-spicy vanilla flavor of non-envy. The basic level of non-envy. A level which is higher than that is to be their genuine well-wisher. First level is at least you are not uncomfortable seeing someone else's success. But the second level is you are a genuine well-wisher of that person. In fact, you are assisting them also to become successful. Third level is to establish a competition in a society with God at center. You can read, these are the exact statements that Prabhupada writes. To establish a competitionless society with God in center means not just you are not envying someone, not just you are being well-wisher of someone, you want everyone to be non-envious well-wisher of everyone. That is real non-envy. That's the third level of non-envy. Because many of these definitions and terms in our scriptures have very, very deeper levels of understanding. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita or any other Vaishnava scripture once, we can never claim the complete understanding of that. If we claim so, we need to understand that we have not understood. This is not like a physics or chemistry textbook. Once you read it in a newspaper, even if you read it half or one-fourth or in the headlines also, looks like you have understood the whole thing. Because it's material subject thing. And after 10 days or 20 days, it becomes totally irrelevant to us. But these are eternally relevant to us. They keep on eternally revealing fresher and fresher and newer perspectives to us in reciprocation with our consciousness. To the degree we are mature, to the degree we are pure, to that degree, Bhagavatam will reveal its inner meanings, inner insights. Non-envy is not just not envying someone. A deeper understanding is being a well-wisher. A much deeper understanding is making everyone a well-wisher. Vaishnava is not just one who chants once, one who chants constantly. And one who expects everyone to chant. Deeper levels. So Mahaprabhu took 3 years to present these 3 levels. And we took a few minutes to go through them. But we may take a few lifetimes to implement them. That's a different thing. But Mahaprabhu, even to reveal this knowledge also, 3 years passed. So now let's see if you... What's the time now?
6:18.
Oh, we have only 12 minutes. So we'll discuss some important instructions given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on chanting. Ghariyaha karasada krishna sankirtan krishna nama krishna katha krishna aradhana
krishna nama krishna katha krishna aradhana.
So this is a consistent instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whomever he meets at the time of departure. So he says, chant the holy names of the Lord, serve Vaishnavas, worship Krishna. So these are constant instructions, whether he meets Vasudeva Lamba or Kurma Brahma or these Kulinagram devotees and many other Bengal devotees, he has a consistent instruction. Krishna Namayananda Sindhu Bhaswadam Brahmananda Tarage Khatudhatasam
Brahmananda Tarage Khatudhatasam.
Krishna Namayananda Sindhu Bhaswadam, for one who is relishing the nectar, Ananda Sindhu, nectar of holy name of Krishna. Brahmananda is like a small puddle of water. It's insignificant. This is Ananda Sindhu, it's an ocean of Ananda, and that is some insignificant pond, rivulet, or a small reservoir of water which will become dry as soon as sun starts shining high in the sky. Just 2 days of summer is sufficient to dry up this lake. But the Ananda Sindhu of chanting Krishna Nama will never dry because it's an ocean. Ocean will never get dried up. So when Maya, the heat of Maya is scorching like summer sun, then the so-called purity or austerity or any purification that we acquire by karma, jnana, yoga path cannot give you sufficient protection. Because the credits, quote unquote spiritual credits or pious credits that we acquire by following karma, jnana, yoga path are like little water in a small lake. But when the scorching rays of summer are falling on that lake, this lake will dry up very fast. Similarly, when the scorching heat of Maya touches a karmi or a jnani or yogi, they cannot survive it. They cannot survive. They will just deviate from spiritual path, or they cannot survive in that line. But a devotee who is experiencing an ocean of bliss in the heart by chanting Krishna's name, by following bhakti path, by actually experiencing Krishna's reciprocation within the heart, even the scorching rays of Maya cannot do anything to such a devotee. That's why in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, the four Kumaras say,
ಯತ್ಪಾದಪಂಕಜಕಲಾಸವಿಲಾಸಭಕ್ತ್ಯಾ ಕರ್ಮಾಶಯಂ ಗ್ರಥಿತ ಮುದ್ರಥಯಂತಿ ಸಂತಃ ತದ್ವನ್ನರಿತಮತಯೋಯತಯೋಭಿರುದ್ಧ ಶ್ರೋತೋಗಣಸ್ತವರಣಂ ಭಜ ವಾಸುದೇವಂ. ಯತ್ಪಾದ ಪಂಕಜ ಕಲಾಸ ವಿಲಾಸ ಭಕ್ತ್ಯ ವೆನ್ ಯು ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ ದಿ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಶಯಂ ಗೃಜಿತ ಮುದ್ರತೆಯಂತೆ ಸಂತ ಆಲ್ ಯುವರ್ ಕರ್ಮಾಶಯ ಯುವರ್ ಯುವರ್ ಡೀಪ್ ರೂಟೆಡ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆರ್ ಅಪ್ ರೂಟೆಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಲ್ ಅನರ್ಥಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಅಪ್ ರೂಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಸಿನ್ಸಿಯರ್ಲಿ ಫಾಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ. ಬಟ್ ತದ್ವನ್ನ ರಿಕ್ತಮತಯೋ ಯತಯೋ ವಿರುದ್ಧ ದೋಸ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿವೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರೈಸ್ ಸೋ ಹಾರ್ಡ್ ದೇ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನೆವರ್ ಇವನ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ದೇರ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಲಸ್ಟ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಟು ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಟೇನಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಎಕ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ ಎಕ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ. Therefore, Sroto Ganastamaranam Bhaja Vasudevam. It's conclusively established that he should do bhajan of Vasudeva, nothing else. So coming back to this, Mahaprabhu says,
Nama Sankirtana Haite Sarvanarthanasha
Nama Sankirtana Haite Sarvanarthanasha
Sarva Shubhotaya Krishna Primera Ullasa
Sarva Shubhotaya Krishna Primera Ullasa.
Coincidentally, the shloka that I just quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto is very much in line with this shloka of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By following other processes, even our anarthas like lust, envy, pride will not be eradicated. But Hulini, the process of bhakti can eradicate. Mahaprabhu is saying something similar.
Nama Sankirtana Haite Sarvanarthanasha.
By doing Nama Sankirtana, all anarthas are destroyed. Then, not just that, destruction of anarthas, Sarva Shubhodaya, all auspiciousness will be invoked in our lives. Krishna Premira Ullasa. So Ullas means we'll be joyful in Krishna Prema. So in this context, let me quote another shloka from Padyavali. A little longer shloka, try to recite it after me.
Vepante duritani moha mahima sammoha malambate
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 Satankam nakharanjani kalayati Shri Chitra Gupta Hakriti ಸಾಕಂ ನಖರಂಜನಿ ಕಲಯತಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಚಿತ್ರಗುಪ್ತ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಸಾಂಡಂ ಮಧುಪರ್ಕ ಸಂಹೃತಿ ವಿಧವೋ ವೇಧ ಕರೋತ್ಯುದ್ಯಮ ಸಾಂಡಂ ಮಧುಪರ್ಕ ಸಂಹೃತಿ ವಿಧವೋ ವೇಧ ಕರೋತ್ಯುದ್ಯಮ ಶ್ವರಭಿನಶಿತೆ ಭೂಮಃ ಕಿಮನ್ಯತ್ ಪರಂ ವಕ್ತುಂ ನಾಮಿ ಕವೀಶ್ವರಭಿನಶಿತೆ ಭೂಮಃ ಕಿಮನ್ಯತ್ ಪರಂ
ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಮೇ ಬಿ ಟಫ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಟಫ್ ಟು ರಿಸೈಟ್ ದಿ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಬಟ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ವೆರಿ ಎಕ್ಸೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಎಕ್ಸೈಟೆಡ್ ಟು ನೋ ದ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್
ವೇಪಂತೆ ದುರಿತಾನಿ
ಯು ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ
ವೇಪತುಶ್ಚ ಶರೀರೇ ವೇ ರೋಮ ಹರ್ಷಸ್ಸ ಜಾಯತೆ
ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್
ಗಾಂಡಿವಂ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತಿ ಹಸ್ತಾತ್ ತ್ವಚೈವ ಪರಿರಹ್ಯತೆ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಸೇಸ್ ವೇಪತುಶ್ಚ ಶರೀರೇ ಮೀ ಮೈ ಬಾಡಿ ಇಸ್ ಟ್ರಂಬ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ರೋಮ ಹರ್ಷಸ್ಸ ಜಾಯತೆ ಮೈ ಹೀರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಇಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಸಿ ಬಟ್ ಇನ್ ಫಿಯರ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದಟ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಶ್ಲೋಕ. So Arjuna is experiencing that his body is trembling. Here what is trembling? Vepante duritane.
Duritane means sins. Vepante means they tremble.
When you chant the holy names of Krishna,
all your sins will tremble in fear and they will run away. That's the first effect. So Vepante duritane means your sins and sinful reactions and sinful proclivities will tremble and they will run away. Holy name will just chase them away, right?
second point.
Prayupanti Dhritani Sarva, next.
Moha Mahima Sammoha Malambati.
Moha means illusion, delusion, bewilderment, confusion, right? Moha Mahima means greatness, the power of Moha. So the Mahima of Moha is so intense. Generally, Mahima word is used to indicate something positive. But here, Rupa Goswami expertly used it to describe Moha. This Moha Mahima means the extent to which Maya can bewilder us is unimaginable and inconceivable. Moha Mahima. What will happen to that Moha Mahima? Sammoha Malambate. That Moha will become Sammoha. Means that illusion will get bewildered when you chant the holy names of Krishna. Right? Illusion will become scary. The illusory energy is bewildering and confusing everybody in this world, but the power of holy name is such that it can bewilder the bewildering energy. It can put the illusory energy in thorough illusion. That is the power of holy name. Vepante duritani moha mahima sammoha malambate. Second line, even more exciting, interesting. Satankam nakharanjanem kalayati Shri Chitra Gupta Hakriti.
Satankam nakharanjanem kalayati Shri Chitra Gupta Hakriti.
Chitra Gupta. This Satankam is connected to the previous line also in one sense, because illusion will become Atankam. Atanka Netram, you know, Ramadarashtakam Sa Atanka Netram means that Krishna is like fearful. Similarly, illusion is fearful, sins are fearful when you chant holy names of the Lord. The next point is Nakaranjani Kalayati Sri Chitragupta Kriti. Chitragupta is a scribe of Yamaraj, assistant of Yamaraj, right? And his job is to keep on writing. My God, how many sins these people have committed? He's writing and writing. How many GBs of data he has, how many TBs of data he has, you don't know. Per soul. Not all put together. So as soon as somebody chants the holy names of the Lord, Chitragupta feels, I don't have to maintain this fellow's record. One file deleted, one folder deleted. Right? So many TBs of data is saved. And so few TBs of memory is saved. So Chitragupta, he looks at the brilliance or the effulgence of the toenails of someone who is chanting the holy names of the Lord. See the word. Nakaranjanim kalayati Sri Chitragupta Hakriti. Naka, naka means this toenails. So seeing the effulgence of the toenails of someone who is chanting the holy names of Krishna, Chitragupta offers obeisances. Thank you so much for reducing my seva, for reducing my burden of record maintenance. Next point.
Sanandam madhuparka samhriti vidhavo medha karodhyudyamahum.
Sanandam madhuparka samhriti vidhavo medha karodhyudyamahum.
Vedha refers to Brahma, Lord Brahma. You know what he does? As soon as he sees someone chanting Krishna's name, madhuparka samhriti vidhavo, he will immediately prepare his arti paraphernalia, including madhuparka. Generally, in a typical arti plate, we have dhupa, deepa, pushpa, arghya, patya, etc. But when you are doing shodashapachara puja, you have madhupar calls. When you are doing abhishek, when you are doing some bathing in the smaller deities, in temple, the utsav vigrahas, you have 16 upacharas. So in a typical arti, you offer dhupa, then deep, then pushpa, then other things, smaller arti. Tulsiyat is much smaller. Guru Puja and Mangalak is little elaborate. But Shodashamsara is even more elaborate. Here you put Madhupark also. Madhupark is a mixture of this honey and milk and ghee, etc. So, our Brahma, Vidhata, he prepares a big arti plate. Not just arti plate, it's like Shodashamsara Puja plate with Madhupark in it to worship that person who is chanting the holy names of Krishna. Not that we are eager to receive worship from Brahma in chanting the holy names, but that's a respect given to someone who is chanting Krishna's name. Right. Last line.
Vaktum namita vaishvara bhilashite bhumahakiman yadparam.
Vaktum namita vaishvara bhilashite bhumahakiman yadparam.
vaktum kim anyat param. Just cannot deceive. What else can I say? I said four things about someone who is chanting the names of the Lord. One, his sins will tremble. Two, illusion will run away. Three, Chitragupta will worship him, will look at him with reverent reverence. And Brahma will do puja to him, worship him. Four things he said. What else can I say? Rupa Goswami was saying. Then all these effects are about whom? Nami tava ishvara abhilashite. One who desires to serve Krishna, ishvara abhilasha means, there's an abhilasha means aspiration, desire to connect with ishvara. With a desire to connect with ishvara, what is he doing? Nami, chanting the holy names of the Lord. If you chant the holy names of Krishna with a sincere desire to connect with him, then Brahma worships you. Chitragupta looks at you with reverence. Sins will run away and illusion will also run away. That is the effect of chanting the names of the Lord. This is how our acharyas glorified Krishna Nam in various ways. There is no end to this glorification. What's the time? There should be an end for the class.
6:33.
I'm 3 minutes late. Okay, we'll conclude here. Many shlokas you can just go through. We can do tomorrow also. I was advised by the organizers and Maharaj to also spend half an hour to conduct a reflection session. So we can do that now. But before that, I request His Holiness Sachinandana Swami Maharaj to offer some comments, corrections, or anything Maharaj you want to share. This mic has to go there. You may have to move a bit.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking very much for taking us through the verses of the scripture, and I think we all can see the benefit of just going through Shastra, and it's so nice to see your enthusiasm also. You affect us, Gurmanga Darshan, and in a positive way. Well, I was just thinking that these Purvina Gram Vasis came each year for 4 months to Puri and stayed with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took the opportunity to ask him for instructions. And the instructions there are always the same: worship Krishna, worship the Vaishnavas, and do the holy name, chant the holy name. These were the three instructions. Now, there were three levels of Vaishnavas which were described. The first level, if he chants just once, Hare Krishna, he shall be worshipped. The second level is one who chants constantly. And the third is one who by his nature inspires others to chant. You brought this out very, very nicely. And I know that this refers to three types of devotees who are on different levels, and they all are to be worshipped. And the reason for this, that all of them, even the one who just chants, when you tell him, when you meet him, Hare Krishna, and he says Hare Krishna, that a person has raised the attention of Krishna. In the sixth canto it is said that when Ajamiya just chanted this Narayan, Narayan reacted and said, he's me now, he's my person. He has chanted In other words, the Lord takes any pretext, even a small amount of chanting, to give His mercy to someone. I know Prabhupada felt himself successful when in Juhu he met the children, and on the way he told them, chant Hare Krishna, and they chanted Hare Krishna, and he came back glowing with enthusiasm. My mission is successful now, he said. I made this child chant. So the reason is because the moment someone starts to even say the name once, the Lord becomes attentive to him. And this is the other way, the other. Bhakti is a two-way road. What the Bhakta does and what the Lord does for the Bhakta. And when the Lord becomes attentive to someone, shouldn't we also be attentive to him? Shouldn't we also forgive them their small and big problems like this? This was my reflection. The reason why these Vaishnavas, the one-time chanter, the constant chanter, and the inspiring chanter, who inspires others, the reason why they are to be worship is because the Lord has become attentive to them, and He takes it upon Himself to now arrange out of His compassion the deliverance of that person. It may take some time, some arrangements take a longer time, but yes, this tells us, let us be attentive to the Vaishnavas and everyone, and learn to only see the good and not the other conditioned things. Hare Krishna.
Should we do this?
Do this?
Hare Krishna. So we had two sessions today. Some reflections based on what we discussed. So this morning we were discussing many things from the examples of Akrura and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, Avanti Brahman, the mood of entering Vrindavan, mood of being in Vrindavan. So, you can just write four key takeaways from the morning session. Anything that touched your heart, anything that you could resonate with, any four points you can just write. Then second activity is, you can write your experience of any of your previous visits to Vrindavan or in this visit to Vrindavan so far. And reflect on how much is that in line with the journeys of Akrura and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this exercise is meant to realize the gap. Akrura was grateful. Akrura was feeling very humble that I don't deserve it, but still I got it because of Krishna's mercy. So he had so many reflections, and we discussed only a couple of them, but those who have studied that chapter of Bhagavatam will be aware of many more. So how far am I, how far my consciousness is from Akrura's consciousness while coming up to Vrindavan? So maybe by just identifying it now could help us to be in a little better consciousness in the next visit to Vrindavan, or even the rest of our current visit. So maybe you can do this in the next 15 minutes. Then, should I say it now? Let me say it now. We just fill this space, last space of this little handout given to you. First, what transformation have you experienced in your heart by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra so far in your life?
Many of us must be chanting for 10 years or 20 years or maybe more than that, 30, 40 years also. Some must have begun a few years back. But we must have experienced some positive impact in our life. So far, whatever that has been, you can just write. And second is, identify the gap between your practical experience and the promises of the scriptures. We have just seen multiple promises. And I was supposed to discuss this Chatur Chedaka Mantram also. And we must be aware of so many other glories of the process of chanting the holy names of Krishna as we read from scriptures. How many of those effects did I experience? So maybe you can just write them to some degree and then see the gap. Then what can you do to minimize that gap? What steps can we take to minimize that gap? So that's the second exercise. So two exercises from morning session, two from the evening session. Whatever is practical for you, 10 minutes for this side, 10 minutes for this side, and 10 minutes for sharing with each other. That's how we can spend the next half an hour. Is that fine? Does it make sense? Once you complete this, you can turn to your friend whoever is right next to you. Preferably whom you don't know much, or you can go up to you and then share your experience.